News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell, Rochester today on a beautiful Friday morning with my friend Thomas Ostrom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Andrew.
At least your voice is holding out pretty good here.
Well, you sound good, though.
I have.
And you got a Calvinist ethic. You'll come to work whatever.
Fine. Yeah. It must be allergies because I don't have a cold.
Oh.
I mean, there's no sinus thing going on. I just have a really hoarse voice. Yeah. I've had it all week.
Or one of those viruses.
A virus, a nasty virus that only affects your vocal cords.
Yeah.
So if I go into puberty while we're talking, you understand why here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mailbag? Got anything in the mailbag?
Yeah. Rose, I'm going to censor some of it. She says, good show last time. Do we know that Hillary didn't write to Netanyahu? Was he on her server? She was doing independent State Department work at her home. Who knows who she contacted, who she got money from. And she said she picked up the slack for Obama on Benghazi when it first broke, but that's falling apart again. I pity her. I think she's ill. I don't think she's well. You could see it from her thick glasses. She gets out of a van sometime. She doesn't seem healthy. Not as vigorous anymore, and she's got that smarmy, pasted smile on her face, and she's a radical feminist and a liar, and then she goes on and says really critical things, and then she says, now you know how I feel about her, and then she says, P.S., the NSA is looking at this email.
Yeah.
Okay, and then...
you know, when you think about Hillary, and they're... You know, her life history. And why would you want the job at that point?
Oh, yeah.
You go through this? I mean,
yeah, and she's got so many questions to answer, including foreign funding while she was Secretary of State. So much. Even Democrats are starting to fall away from her. And this from an informed listener, Tom, a friend of mine and his wife. We talked about Netanyahu, Andrew, you and I. A friend of mine and his wife are both Jewish. They're mad as the dickens at Obama for meddling in Israel's national elections. While he said he didn't want to interfere in the elections when Bibi came to the United States to speak to Congress. By the way, my Jewish friends are both Democrats. They voted for Obama in 2008, not in 2012. And as they say, Obama's attempt to defeat Bibi backfired, and it assured Bibi's parliamentary victory by Jewish citizens in Israel that were disgusted by it. And Obama's people, sure, they were worried about Arab voters and the Palestinian state until the Arab extremists in that region changed their tune. Why should he not be concerned? And then he said, I liked the excellent radio show last Tuesday, and I like Scott Walker that you and Andy talked about. And now the Democrats are going after Joni Ernst, the Iowa farm girl and military commander, trying to degrade her like they did Sarah Palin.
Interesting. I got a whole lot to say about Netanyahu and the ongoing negotiations. Do you want to save that for after the break?
You bet.
Because we could
In charge. I'll do what you say, Andrew.
I'm in charge.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yes, you're the bandmaster.
Okay, is that it for the mailbag then?
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll dive into it. 282-1234 is our phone number if you want to join the conversation. It's 41 in the downtown, and it's going to be a beautiful day to go to the root beer stand on 4th Street Southeast because, you know, we told you about it. It opened on Tuesday. And now it's Friday, and it's Lent. So get the connection, the world-famous Roscoe's Fish Fry. It's there. It's available. And take advantage of it. It's just a perfect day to stop by Roscoe's and enjoy a wonderful fish fry. And if you're not Catholic and you don't care, enjoy one of their other wonderful meat products, delicious ribs, chicken, pulled pork, you name it, at the root beer stand on 4th Street Southeast.
And it'll bring you back to the 1950s. And there's some room to sit inside if you want to be a little warmer. And then you can enjoy those ribs and those wonderful sides that Andy talked about, and burgers and sandwiches and root beer. And they have catering. And if you have those special events in spring and summer, why, They can handle the job. Graduations are coming up. Roscoe's Ribs and the great award-winning barbecue sauce.
That's right. And if you're interested in the catering, the number to call is 285-0501. Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs, the 4th Street location. The Root Beer Stand is open.
Now, your Weather Eye forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
It is brought to you by Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine. Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center offers comprehensive sports medicine services. Discover their state-of-the-art facility at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Mayo Clinic is changing your game. We're looking for a high today near 60 degrees. Overnight tonight, down to about 30 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a high near 45. Back down to about 30 Saturday night. We get to Sunday, cloudy, some snow developing, changing over to rain, maybe a dusting of snow and a high around 40 degrees. Chance of snow, maybe mixed precip on Monday, again a high of about 40 degrees. And once again, a chance of a rain-snow mix on Tuesday and a high of about 45, mid-40s again on Wednesday. Again, there's a chance of mixed precipitation or all rain on Wednesday. So at least a chance of some soaking precip as we get into next week. Right now, with the partly cloudy skies, it's 41 in downtown Rochester at KROC AM. It's 20 minutes past 10 o'clock. It's the Rochester Today Show. I'm Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom. 282-1234 is our phone number if you want to join the conversation. Okay. For weeks and months, I've been saying that I think the whole negotiating situation with the Iranians is worth a shot because the military option is not a very good option. What the heck, let's see, maybe, who knows, maybe they can pull the rabbit out of the hat. Well, the Associated Press yesterday published what they were told is, you know, a broad overview of the draft of the deal that is apparently under consideration in these multinational talks. To say I was disappointed would be the understatement of the year. I was hopping mad when I saw it. I thought, oh my gosh, if this administration goes through and this is the agreement that they decide to sign on to and use this as a reason to lift the sanctions against the Iranians, everything that they have said, the critics, about this president being an appeaser is right on the mark. They entered the negotiation, this is according to the Associated Press, with a goal of getting the Iranians to knock the number of centrifuges they are operating down to about 1,500 from the current 10,000. Now, I remember in not too distant past when the Iranians elevated that number to 5,000, and the people who were experts in the nuclear weapons field were raising red flags all over the place going, look, this is getting them to the position where they can, at a fairly decent clip, produce the plutonium that's going to be needed to make at least a decent yield nuclear weapon over a period of time. Well, now, apparently, according to the Associated Press, this agreement will call for the Iranians to reduce the number of centrifuges they operate by 40% from 10,000 that we know of. You got to qualify that for a point, too, because there's a very strong likelihood that they have secret installations that we do not have any information about, but our intelligence suggests they have 10,000 centrifuges down to 6,000 centrifuges. And for this wonderful sacrifice by the Iranians, we're going to immediately lift economic sanctions. What?
Yeah.
I thought, okay, if you're going to go through this process and you can actually come up with a strong, verifiable deal that will prevent the Iranians from getting a nuclear weapon, even if it is a 10-year delay, I'm going to go, that's something we should strongly consider. But if this is the actual deal that this White House is considering, this people in this country should be completely outraged.
Well, Bibi Netanyahu warned us of those things when he spoke to Congress, and there's that 10-year, evidently, period where then Iran can make a nuclear weapon.
They still could if they have 6,000 centrifuges.
They still can. They don't have to obey the law. They're going to start an arms race. Egypt and Saudi Arabia will want nuclear weapons then. Netanyahu won the election in Israel, I think, because the Israelis are afraid of Obama's ineptness. Obama wants to cater to Iranian dictators who have killed American soldiers. He doesn't, but he disses Egypt because they kicked out the Muslim Brotherhood. He disses Netanyahu because I think he's overwhelmed by him and intimidated by him. But he is catering to our enemies. And now he's got Democrats against him. Many Jewish Democrats are finally speaking out. They're joining the fight against Obama's nuclear deal. And that should be a treaty. Nuclear arms have always been treaties in form. But bipartisan resistance, Andrew, for the reasons you're saying, are building up. And that thousands of units, that uranium enrichment you talked about, is part of it. A bipartisan letter signed by 360 House members warns Obama that Iran can't get permanent sanctions release until Congress approves it, and also that they should keep the sanctions on Iran till Iran promises not to do terror and not to expand in the Middle East. But one more thing. A top Democrat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee said the administration is clinging to preposterous logic in its pursuit of a deal with these self-imposed deadlines and the refusal to invoke sanctions. And who's that man? Representative Brad Sherman of California, very thoughtful, very quiet, the second-ranking Democrat, and he's made the charge in a heated hearing on Iran. And Obama's representatives were there talking about how brilliant what they're doing is, and this Brad Sherman looked at him and said, what you are saying in your logic is preposterous.
I like that word. Well, I was taken aback when I read that Associated Press story yesterday, because I thought, okay, if your goal is to prevent the Iranians from gaining nuclear weapons, this deal does not. That does not meet your goal. It may slow them down a little bit, but we already do not know how much weapons-grade plutonium they have stockpiled using the centrifuges they have. They could already be at the point where they have enough to make a weapon, whether or not they... I mean, there's so many we don't knows in this equation that unless you have a, you get this number down, and the 1,500 number, okay, I can get into that, because then you could actually argue that's a reasonable number that we could inspect and see that they're not taking the uranium enrichment process to that level of weapons grade. But when you're saying we're going to run 6,000 of them, and then that's, and my understanding is that the Iranians have taken that secret, this top secret installation off the table for the inspections.
Sure.
So in other words, we don't even know what they're doing there.
That was recently discovered, and they're not letting inspectors in.
They won't talk about that part.
And they know the West isn't going to do anything. All the West has is sanctions. Nobody wants war against Iran. Netanyahu, he'll have a two-state solution, he said, with Palestinians when they behave, when they show that they don't want to destroy Israel. And, and he said a diplomatic, you know, Obama said nobody wants a, some people don't want a diplomatic deal. Yes, they do. They want it to make sense.
Yes, it makes sense. And at this point, if this is where you, if I'm at the negotiations at this point, this is at the point where you ratchet up the sanctions. Go, hey, you clowns, this is not a serious deal. If you want to have a serious deal, let's talk. Otherwise, we're going to turn the screws a little tighter on you at this point.
Sure,
this
and
is
Kerry,
not a serious deal.
Kerry and Obama are more congenial toward Iranian dictators who killed American soldiers, who export terrorism, who are expanding in the Middle East. The Saudis want help from the U.S. The Egyptians do. Obama disses them because he doesn't like that they don't agree with everything he says. ISIS, El-Sisi, the general in Egypt, Obama hates him because he threw out the Muslim Brotherhood. He says Islamic extremism is the problem, and he called imams in to change what Islam teaches. And he says, I want aid from the United States. I'd like to visit the United States. I'd like some of them to come through here. But he's cutting off arms to me, Obama, because he's mad at me. And Netanyahu, the same thing. He disses our friends, this president of ours, and he caters to our enemies. He's so narcissistic and ideological. And personally, I don't think he's that well informed about the Middle East. He sure doesn't know what El-Sisi and Netanyahu know about the Middle East. They live there.
And the other statement that the president made that was interesting to me was that he said hardliners in both of our countries, Iran and the United States, are working to block an agreement on this. And I thought... Well, number one, the hardliners are in charge in Iran. Ultimately, the Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran, is your hardliner. And if he's not serious about a deal that really reaches the goal of a non-nuclear Iran, then you don't have a deal. And so to say, it's a ridiculous statement on the cover. And the other thing I wanted to talk before the news break, we're going to take a call here too. The coverage of Netanyahu's election, I thought it was very interesting and very telling. This was the Associated Press yesterday, the wording of the Associated Press story. Benjamin Netanyahu is backtracking on his earlier statements regarding a two-state solution, a Palestinian state. And then it said during a discussion, I think it was MSNBC, I had Netanyahu on yesterday, and this is all in this Associated Press story. Netanyahu said that he wants to pursue a two-state solution when the conditions in the Middle East are acceptable. That, and then they go, and this is the very same story, and they quote him saying, and this is what he said before the election, and it was the same dang thing. He said, I would not support a Palestinian state until the levels of chaos and violence are reduced.
That's right.
Because
he has
backtracking.
No, he has to deal with Hamas. They're right in that neighborhood. He has to deal with Hamas, Hezbollah, the West Bank. And he said, yeah, when they behave themselves and renounce things, including our extinction, of course we can deal with them. We have Arab voters in this country. I want equal opportunity.
That's not a backtrack. That is a reiteration of what he said.
That's right.
It was completely, the story was a completely slanted.
And they called him a racist because he worried about Arabs being bussed into the elections. That's not racism. Arabs are Caucasian in that part of the world, so how can it be racism?
We'll get to a quick call, and then we have to take a news break. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Oh, I think you've taken all my points.
Okay.
But if I look at Netanyahu, I see a person that has risked his political career in the interest of keeping his country safe. And I'm just left to wonder, in our country, in our political system, how many of our representatives would step forth and risk their political careers to do the right kind of thing? I know Netanyahu's been called a hawk, but my gosh, they have peace on the border with Egypt and Jordan. I'm just left to wonder what the big issue is here. I salute him for his courage.
You know, if I lived in that part of the world, I'd want a hawk.
Yeah.
Indeed. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. He lives in that neighborhood, and Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan know more about the Islamic State, and they use the terms of Islamic extremism. Netanyahu's a great guy, and he lost a. He was in the commandos when he was young, and his brother was killed in a commando raid. They know what terrorism is.
And they have also shown a willingness to make peace.
Yeah.
In the past, and we've seen it, and the side that is not willing to make peace with the Israelis is the problem.
Right, and as our caller said, Egypt has always been pro-Israeli, and they've tried to crush the extremists, tried to protect Coptic Christians.
Not always, though. I mean, you go back 40 years ago, it was a different story. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Things can change.
Yeah.
I mean, they were arch enemies prior to the peace accord of 1980.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there was a rapprochement that took place. But
after war with Israel, Sadat tried to make peace. He was assassinated by the extremists in Egypt, but Mubarak was pro-Israel, and so was El-Sisi.
And the Jordanians have had a decent relationship with
the
Israelis as well.
That's right, but Obama doesn't listen to them either. He thinks he knows more than they do.
We have to take a break, Tom. We can talk more about this or other topics, and we can take more of your calls as well after the news break. It's 42 in the downtown at KROC AM. Kim David's in the news center, and he is coming up next. News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom. It's Rochester Today. 123-282-1234 is our number if you want to call in. Thomas, what do you want to talk about now?
Well, we'll continue a little bit now. You got me all revved up about the Middle East. Another group that knows more about the Middle East than our arrogant, ideological, narcissistic president and the oblivious Mr. Kerry.
Come on, be straightforward. What do you think of the guy? Don't hide it, Ostrom.
Well, who do you think knows more? Now he's getting it from Iranian dissidents, those people that don't like the regime they live under, and from political prisoners. And political prisoners have released what they think of all these things that you and I have been talking about. And they're criticizing President Obama's nuclear policy as dangerous and inept. And they say that as long as Obama keeps moving toward this deal, Iran is going to be more belligerent and dangerous. And they criticized the White House for ignoring the human rights and lack of democracy in Iran. And Egypt or Israel is a democracy, the only one in the Middle East. And they say this regime is murderous, it's untrustworthy, it's terroristic. They do not represent the moderate American people. This is just a deal between President Obama and then the Ayatollah's agents. And these political prisoners say we're extraordinarily naive over here, and he's not doing anything to improve the Iranian human rights situation. That should be part of the agenda, and lack of terrorism. And then one more thing, Andy, this message that got to America, and the conservative press is covering it. This is the Washington Free Beacon. I don't know if we'll read this in the liberal press. This note came to the West. When the people of Iran asked you to support them against the tyranny of the Shia clerics 5 years ago, you, the president of the most powerful country in the world, were secretly writing letters to the dictator of Iran, catering to him, not to us. Your letters have been read, your contacts have been read. The policy you're pursuing is regrettable and dangerous.
How did that message get out? That was my curiosity. I read the article, too, and I never did explain how these... It seems as if these are prisoners.
Dissidents who aren't in prison, and they're getting information from political prisoners that they visit.
Okay.
And then they let it out. But they're all in danger
for doing that. Yeah.
If they get caught.
282-1234 is our number. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Hello.
I think the U.S. media did not do a good job reporting on the Israeli elections.
I agree.
The pickup of the Likud bloc, Netanyahu's party, they picked up 12 seats in the Knesset, which is an increase of 67%. I mean, that's a big, you know, 67% is quite a large figure.
And if you hear the coverage, you will think that he just eked by.
Correct. Yeah, like he just squeaked by.
Yep.
And then also, could you please talk about the top 10 accomplishments of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State? Thank you.
That's been tried before. And yeah.
That's been tried on Democrats before.
I'm going to go back to why does she want this job? She would be run through the meat grinder during this process. But if it's in your blood, it's in your blood, I guess.
Well, one more thing on this Middle East and terror and everything else, unless you have something, Andy. Obama, in a recent interview, he was asked by a reporter, ISIS has grown. Obama dismissed it. What do you call him, junior varsity, or did he call Al-Qaeda that? But Obama dismissed it, and this reporter in an interview with him had the courage to ask, how did ISIS grow so fast when we were so unaware of it? Guess what he said?
I don't know.
George Bush. He said if George Bush hadn't sent troops to Iraq, they wouldn't have grown. Well, I'm saying if he hadn't removed the troops from Iraq himself, Obama, ISIS wouldn't have grown. But yeah, he sat there with his legs crossed. And with that face of his, you can't tell when he's fibbing and when he's not. He is absolutely stone cold. At least when Nixon lied, he had enough of a conscience to sweat. Because he knew he was lying. But this guy, stone-faced, says those ridiculous things.
Going back to what he said, he has a point. But you're right. It's not a magical golden bullet or silver bullet, what he says. Because if you're going to go down the road of, if we had not invaded Iraq, none of this would have happened. Then I'm going to open up another can of worms on you. Because Saddam Hussein had links to al-Qaeda groups. There were offshoots that were using his territory at the time. Were they significant? Probably not, in hindsight. But they were there. Going forward, are you going to tell me that you have 100% confidence that whatever events that were going to occur in the Middle East that are unknown because we went down a different path could not have led to a significant al-Qaeda presence in Iraq that would have been completely out of your control? I mean, that's the first point I want to bring up. Mm-hmm. The other point I want to bring up, and this is the most disappointing part to me, is every president has inherited the actions of the previous president since the beginning of this country. Whether they were mistakes or they were wise moves, it doesn't matter. It is water under the bridge at that point. You, as the leader of this country, have to deal with the present and the ramifications of whatever that president did before you. And this guy messed it up big time. And I think it's hopefully an honest assessment in the future is written in the history books. The pullout of the U.S. troops from Iraq, and I'm going to say premature pullout, is going to be written down as one of the biggest mistakes that this White House did. They were warned by their own military experts. Sure. They were warned by foreign military experts and foreign leaders that this is not wise, it's not stable. There will be a rush of Islamic extremists into that area because of a power vacuum. And sure enough, every last bit of it did occur. And the military experts were saying that your garrison would have likely had to be somewhere in the 10,000 troop range for, you know, I don't know how many years forward. But they likely would not be engaged in combat. They would be there to provide training and leadership to this fledgling Iraqi military. Instead, that fledgling Iraqi military collapsed during its initial battles with this ISIS group, and now it's a rebuilding process. What I'm trying to say is those were your mistakes, Obama. You own them, and for him to sit there and put it all back on President Bush is, I'm going to use your word, preposterous.
Well, yes, and then let's say hopefully there's a Republican successor in the White House. Well, all that person has to say is, well, I'm in trouble because I inherited Obama's mistakes. And let's see what the liberal press does then.
Yeah, 282-1234 is the number. Good morning, you're on Carol C.
Yeah, hi, Andy.
Morning.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Bill.
Hey,
oops. Yep.
Earlier
I think.
You were talking about Hillary. Why would she want to run? Well, if you go back when Bill Clinton was running for the first term, when they were out on their campaign, he was on the news, I know for a fact, and I watched it. She said, when you vote for Bill, you get me with it. Or, you know, she's part of the deal. And I think she was possessed to be a president from day one. And that was about, you know, I don't know what year that was, but when he was running the first time. And anyway...
I get your point.
Surprised if Obama ends up over in the Middle East trying to run another ISIS over there.
They are obsessed with the power in the White House, and no question about it.
We do have a couple more calls here, Tom, before you get on to your next point. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
It's too bad the reporter that you just were talking about a few minutes ago didn't come back to him and say, but ISIS grew out of his administration's release of the leader of ISIS, who was in a prison in Iraq by the Bush administration, and President Obama's people decided it was okay to let this guy go because he was doing a really nice job of organizing inside the prison, and then they let him out. And that's where ISIS grew from.
He was being held by the Iraqis. He wasn't in U.S. detention.
He was held by the Iraqis.
Right.
But, you know, I think we were the ones that actually took him into custody originally.
That might be true, too.
And what you're saying relates to Gitmo, which is a country club compared to most prisons. And President Obama's letting some of those thugs back in the Middle East, and a good fraction of them are going back into the terrorist game. So I just don't think he understands things. And his policies lost us Libya, where we had a belated friend in history, Mubarak in Egypt, where we had a friend. And now he's dissing the Egyptian general because that general overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood, which Obama favored. The Arab Spring, the disasters in the Middle East have made everything more unstable.
No, your assessment of that is correct, too. I had hope, and it was obviously false hope that something good could have come from that, and it was the exact opposite. So, once again, Tom Ostrom was correct.
Okay, well, you're being very kind and forgetting the times when I wasn't, and you know it, and I know it. But thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll do one more call here. We do have to take a break as well. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Tom, I'm ashamed of you. You're telling me that the President of the United States is lying? That's not possible. I think he actually believes what he's saying.
Okay.
And it's number one. Number two, it's impossible for a moron to lie. Not, they're not capable of doing that. This guy is just absolutely unbelievable. We've got other problems. And it seems that they got tunnel vision. First of all, Mr. Putin and his group and five other countries are involved in these negotiations. It just isn't just the United States.
That's correct.
Number one. Number two, Russia is arming Konigsberg, what used to be Konigsberg. It's now called Kaliningrad. It's a country located between Poland and Latvia. And it's a little section that used to belong to Germany. And after World War II, the Russians went in there and kicked all the Germans out and loaded it up with Russians.
Huh.
So it's now part of Russia. It's completely isolated away from Russia. He plans on going in there right on the borders of Lithuania, Germany, and or Poland and Ukraine, and loading that country up with missiles. Said so. And I believe that Putin, when he talks, he means it, unlike our president.
The other thing about Putin you have to bring up, too,
on top of it, we've got China owning Nicaragua here shortly. We've got Russia.
Well, Panama as well.
Russia going to be owning Greece shortly. And we've got South America exploding on us, except maybe in Brazil they might come around to getting a good president instead of the lefty that's running it right now.
Well, you've raised so many good points, and Iran has got its feelers into Latin America, too. And there's you made me think, you're another foreign policy failure. Remember, on a hot mic, President Obama told the Russians, wait till the election, and then I will deal with Putin, and he'll have an easier time of it. Putin has made a fool out of Obama, expanding in the Ukraine region, in the Crimea, and he's intended, as you said, to expand even more, because who is going to stop him?
The other thing about Putin I was going to bring up in the Iranian situation is a large amount of the technology that the Iranians are using in their nuclear program is Russian-supplied.
Well,
and some of the materials as well. So it's interesting that they would be involved in those talks.
Yeah, I think doesn't Russia support Syria even to some extent?
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to block our foreign policy.
Bashar Assad has always been allied with the Russian side of it.
Remember Hillary's reset button. She was going to handle Russia. Yeah.
The other part about this.
As Secretary of
when
State.
When you brought up the green, the spring, Arab Spring, not the Green Revolution. The Green Revolution was the Iranian thing that got quashed. Am I correct?
I don't remember.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I thought there was something going on here with the climate
extremists. The climate change, yeah.
I don't know.
But when the Arab Spring came about, the logic for ousting Mubarak and these other dictators was largely a human rights rationale, that these brutal dictators had oppressed these people, and now they're rising up and they're going to take these bad guys and throw them out like Mussolini. And the irony of that is when you look at the Iranian situation.
Yeah.
And there you have, it seems as if we're trying to solidify a regime that has an extraordinarily horrible human rights.
They execute hundreds of people a month, the Iranians.
We have to take our break.
And they're not democracies. That part, we can't expect everybody to be like us if we're not exceptional. How can we expect the world to be democratic? That is not their tradition, and it doesn't even make sense in that part of the world.
Okie dokie. What time is it? It's 8 minutes away from 11 o'clock. We're running out of time. We have to take this break, Tom. Back in just a moment, we'll look at the Weather Eye Forecast on KROC AM.
Now, your Weather Eye Forecast on News Talk 1340 KROC AM.
It is brought to you by Truckin' America. Are you making plans for summer? If so, then toppers, lids, tonneau covers, hitches, or maybe contractor equipment should be on your list. Truckin' America in Rochester and truckinamerica.com, the automotive aftermarket experts. Should be a beautiful day today. High near 60 degrees. A low tonight of about 30 degrees. Not as warm this weekend. Partly cloudy with high around 45 Saturday. Down to 30 Saturday night. Then we get to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Chance of rain and snow mixed all the way through. Maybe a little bit of accumulating snow on Sunday with a high of about 40 degrees. 40 again Monday, then mid-40s Tuesday and Wednesday. Right now, downtown, 43 degrees, KROC AM. It is now 5 minutes away from 11 o'clock Friday on KROC AM, Rochester Today. 282-1234 is our number. Tom Ostrom's here. I'm Andy Brownell, and thank you for calling in. You're on KROC.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
You know, I missed half your show, doggone it, but one of the things I thought about going back to that Iranian situation, I don't have a good memory, but there's some things I remember. You know, this attack about Bush invading Iraq and no weapons of mass destruction. Well, I consider the gases he used on the people in the north and killed thousands of them, if I recall.
Yeah, the Kurds.
Was certainly a mass destruction weapon. And then I remember conversation, and there was never anything disclosed on it, that there were three unflagged, unidentified ships that sailed away from Iraq.
I do remember that. And I don't remember the outcome, but I thought they tracked him down in the Indian Ocean.
Well, and I don't remember either, Andy. But I'm
fuzzy on that. That's quite a while ago.
But, you know, ships can handle quite a volume of merchandise. But,
you know, my point is, rather than rehash that, the fact is we did invade Iraq. We did remove Saddam Hussein. Unfortunately, we did not wisely address the political situation in Iraq, and I guess it was an inevitable schism between the Shia and the Sunni erupted, and the sectarian split has worsened things, and now we're dealing with the aftermath. And then we kept the lid on it because we had troops in that country, but once we removed the troops, then all bets were off.
Yeah, the Shia-Sunni split in the Muslim world is also preventing the unity they need to fight ISIS. And that split is why Saudi Arabia is so afraid of Iran, too. But the biggest mistake that the Bush administration made in Iraq was Paul Bremer, supposed to be such a brilliant diplomat, and he went over there, and he wouldn't listen to the generals. He wouldn't listen to people who knew more than he did. And he ordered the disbanding of the Iraqi army. Now, that was the dumbest thing, because they were a good army, Saddam's army, and they could have made the transition just like the Nazis became good communists in Eastern Europe. Well, these Iraqi soldiers could have helped us fight the bad guys, but we disbanded them. They had no income. They had no future, and they joined the bad guys, too. That was the dumbest thing.
Yeah, and that was at the behest of the Shia group that was done. That they were, we can't have Saddam's army still there because, once again, it's the Sunni minority oppressing the Shia minority in that country. And that, you're right, that led to a whole bunch of cascading bad decisions all the way along.
Yeah.
Once again, Ostrom's right. Two times in the last 15 minutes.
You've been more profound than I've been, but I'll take what I can get.
Well, you have a good weekend, Thomas.
Well, you too, Andrew.
And because we are out of time already. Norm missed half the show. A reminder, you can visit KROCAM.com and catch the whole darn thing on our podcast. Very easy to do. And you can also, like us on Facebook. Go find us on Facebook, like us, and the news stories will pop up on your news feed. You'll stay up to date on everything happening here in town and all the different shows and links to the podcast and the contest, everything you like, even the YouTube channel. We're doing a new feature, Top Stories, Kim David, Rich Peterson, and I. That's coming up, and check it all out. It's KROC AM Rochester, 11 o'clock, time for ABC News.